For a long time, Norwegian composer Ole Yalo has wanted to make a Christmas recording. He was pretty excited when his record label proposed the idea. And in fact, it's much more than a Christmas recording. It's appropriate for the entire winter season. It's called Winter Songs. Here's Ole Yalo to tell you more about that on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher.
Well, I've always wanted to do a Christmas album, and so when Decca told me they wanted to do a winter album this year, it was just awesome. It was a great fit because it's really exactly what I wanted to do. So the only difference is that they wanted to do more of a general winter album, which is both Christmas material but also more sort of seasonal winter stuff. So, and it's also a mix of both my choral works but also some instrumental works with piano and strings as well.
Well, and the piano is played by you, so you are really getting highlighted on this recording. I know that you've played piano on some of your other releases, but it's pretty predominant throughout this recording.
Yes, it is. That's where my heart is as a performer, is, you know, with the piano, and it's what I've done since I was a child, and I just love incorporating the piano in whatever way I can. But yeah, choral music and piano music are definitely my two sort of main areas. So I love to be part of these albums as a performer as well.
Now tell me about your collaborators on this recording, the Choir of Royal Holloway. And then is there also an instrumental ensemble? Is that the 12 ensemble?
That's right. Yeah, Choir of Royal Holloway is a really wonderful college choir from just outside London, and yeah, they have such a beautiful, like, really fresh, like, gorgeous but very real kind of natural sound that I really like. So that was a wonderful experience to work with them. And 12 Ensemble is a unconducted string group, also from England, that does a lot of performing. I think they perform a lot with Max Richter, for example. Yeah, so that was also a new group that I haven't worked with before, and that was really excellent.
Now, I was curious, are you doing any of the conducting, or is that strictly done by the conductor who's on this recording?
Yes, he did all the conducting. It's his choir, so he conductor, of course, the choral tracks, but he also conducted the instrumental tracks to help us keep it all together. And yeah, I'd never been a conductor because I always wanted to play the piano. So it was really great to have such an awesome conductor there as well.
What did you appreciate most about working with this choir?
Other than just the excellent sound, they have a very natural, kind of real sound that's very organic, I think. That's something I really like about them. But they're also very collaborative and easy to work with, and that's always wonderful, especially in the recording session, of course. Because it's a lot of time pressure with recording sessions, because, you know, they cost money, and we have a lot of material to get through, and this was just great from the start.
So how did you decide to work with them on this particular project? Have you worked together in the past?
I've never worked with them. We have the same agent. So he suggested them, and Decca Classics really loved their sound. So there was a sort of a perfect fit in that way. And I'd wanted to work with them for a long time anyway, so this is a great opportunity to do that.
Well, let's dive into the recording itself. It opens and it closes with the Rose and then the Rose Part 2. What is the significance of these bookend pieces?
It's a new piece of mine, so I was really excited to put that on the album, and I love that poem by Christina Rossetti. But it's also very kind of melodic, so it felt natural to also have an instrumental version of it as well, with the cello playing the melody. So we decided to put both on the album as sort of bookends. So we start out the album with the choral version and end it with the instrumental version.
What Well, I guess I was curious, and, you know, the answer may be no, but I'm curious, are you trying to take us on a particular journey throughout this recording, the way in which the pieces flow?
Not sort of in a thematic sense, but I definitely put a lot of thought and care into sort of how the program flows and how each piece following the other has a kind of emotional arc to it. You know, that's really important to me, that though they're all separate pieces that are not technically linked, I always want an album to sound like it's almost like it's a whole composition put together as well.
So what would you say is the emotional peak in this recording?
That's a good question. I don't know if there's a specific peak. It's more like the center of it to me is a track called Home. And it's the shortest piece on the album. It's less than 2 minutes. And it's instrumental with piano and strings. I don't know, that track is just really close to my heart. And it starts out very, very quiet. And then kind of after a while starts slowly growing into this big kind of emotional swell. It's very, very melodic, and then it ends kind of quickly. So it's more like there's a center to it, I think, and that's kind of really where my heart is.
It actually makes a beautiful prelude into the piece that follows Across the Vast Eternal Sky. I noticed that you have a lyricist with whom you really like to work, and it happens to be the same lyricist that Eric Whitaker often teams up with, Charles Anthony Silvestri. And he wrote the lyrics for this piece, Across the Vast Eternal Sky. Would you talk a little bit about that piece and how the idea came to be for the text?
Yeah, I love working with Tony. He's kind of a rare thing in that he's almost like a choral poet. I mean, he writes for other types of music as well, but he has done a lot of work with choral composers, and he's just amazing to work with. He's very, very, very collaborative and kind of malleable in terms of sometimes even changing the words to fit the music and the other way around. So for this piece, we started the thing where we wanted to use the last line of our previous collaboration as the title of the next one, which was supposed to be like a thing, but we only did it once. So the title of this piece, Across the Vast Eternal Sky, was the last line of our previous collaboration, was another piece called Tundra. So the last line of that was Across the Vast Eternal Sky, and the commission for that piece, which was for the Salt Lake Vocal Artists, the program of that concert was The Circle of Life. So we used him to write something in that realm. And it's sort of a metaphor for spiritual growth.
Sunlight shines on my face. This is my grace, to be restored, born again in flame.
It uses the image of the phoenix, you know, and kind of rebirth, but more sort of specifically kind of refers to how we renew ourselves and grow spiritually as we go through life.
There's another piece called Days of Beauty. And as I was listening to that, Ola, I thought, oh, this is kind of the signature Ola Yalo sound. And I thought, how would you describe that if somebody asked you to describe your signature sound?
I think it's always hard to describe your own sound in some ways, because it's not so easy to listen to it from the outside because you're so close to it, you know?
But well, I think the rhythmic pulse that's underneath there, you know, and then the melodies always just soar.
Yeah, I think that's something I do quite a lot. I like to have often a consistent pulse in the accompaniment and have the choir kind of soar over that. often there is a sort of cinematic feel, I guess, to a lot of my music, because I've always, you know, my favorite composers are, for the most part, film composers, and that's kind of the music I gravitate towards a lot. So I think I've always wanted to kind of emulate that in choral music, and to find that sort of symphonic, lush kind of sound almost with using smaller forces within the choral kind of realm.
Now, when it comes to the familiar Christmas carols, I guess there's four maybe on this recording. And I was curious, how did you choose which ones to include out of all the carols that exist?
Well, I did a set of seven carols just a few years ago, and so we used four of those for this album.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at the ones that are familiar, like The First Noel, The Holly and the Ivy, Away in a Manger, and, oh, The Coventry Carol and Silent Night. I thought that was really interesting that it was not a choral version of Silent Night. Why did you decide to make that an instrumental improvisation?
I think I just really wanted to do something just solo piano on the album, because everything else is with choir or with strings or with choir and strings. So I just really wanted to do something solo, because solo improv is sort of my favorite thing to do as a performer, and it means a lot to me to be able to just create something in the moment that's sort of completely unprepared, you know, and just kind of dive into that.
The First Noel is a really lush arrangement. Tell me about your vision for that carol.
There's so many wonderful, you know, arrangements of all of these carols, so it's hard to do something new in a way. So I really wanted to make them sort of my own as much as possible, and do my own harmonies that are in my own language that wouldn't normally be used for those carols. And I wanted that particular setting, I wanted to feel really like warm and comforting in a way. So I use quite a lot of humming, which is a sound I really love, this kind of warm bed of sound. So that was kind of a central element to that arrangement.
Well, you use the humming also in Away in a Manger with a soloist, and it really sounded like a prayer to me.
That arrangement, I really wanted to make it like extremely simple and very, very quiet. And so the whole tune, except for that unison stanza, the choir is humming underneath the soloist. The harmonies are kind of melancholic, so it's a little more serious than the usual. I want it to be very kind of introvert and quiet. You know.
Now, The Holly and the Ivy is one of those carols that can be very repetitive. But you made it really interesting. You included a lot of variations. Would you talk a little bit about the different variations that we're hearing in that carol?
Yeah, you're right. It can get kind of repetitive because the melody is repetitive and not very long. So that's always a challenge to make it interesting over the course of the whole song. So one of the things I did with that one is I wrote a counter melody to the original melody that appears, I think, in the third verse. Which then comes back towards the end, and then it becomes its own theme. So the last verse is just my counter melody becoming its own theme and ending the song that way.
The Coventry Carol, to my mind, has always been sort of a lullaby. Your arrangement, though, is pretty bold. As I was listening, I literally thought of it being sort of like a Renaissance cathedral-type piece. I could imagine it being sung in a cathedral with that lush, sacred sound.
Yeah, that one is more animated maybe than is usual for that song. So it turns out almost waltzy.
Let's talk about this Latin hymn of the Nativity.
Oh, Ecce Novum, yes. So Ecce Novum actually started out as a piece of mine for cello and piano. But I always kind of wanted to do a choral version of that. So that was one of those occasions where you find a text that you kind of adapt to the music because, you know, the music already existed. But I really love that text and then also put strings with it. So on this album, it's scored for choir, piano, and string orchestra.
Now, if I remember correctly, the cello is one of your favorite instruments. Is that right?
It is, absolutely.
And that's why we maybe hear it on the piece called Dawn?
Yes, that's right.
Now, one other piece we haven't talked about yet is the Ave Generosa, which is based on a Hildegard von Bingen poem. Is there anything you'd like to say about that piece?
I've always loved Hildegard von Bingen's music and her texts. I fell in love with her music when there was this incredible legendary album with Gothic voices years ago, and since then I've been just completely taken with it. And Ave Generosa was on that album, so I took that text and wrote my own setting of it.
And then Wintertide is an arrangement of a favorite Norwegian folk melody of yours. Would you like to tell us more about that and the English lyrics that go with it?
Yeah, Wintertide was originally commissioned for another album, a Norwegian choir that did settings of Norwegian hymn arrangements. So this tune is, in Norwegian, it's called Solrenningssela, which is one of my absolute favorite Norwegian hymns, and it's a folk song. And to make it more kind of accessible for everyone, we had Tony Silvestri write a new text for it in English, and also made it into a Christmas text. The original Norwegian hymn is not a Christmas song.
So, Ola, as you were putting this recording together, did you learn anything about yourself?
I think it just kind of confirmed for me how much I love recording. It's, other than composing, recording is my favorite thing to do. I just love that process of getting to kind of put together a program of music that's close to my heart and to put it together in the most ideal way, you know, like to really get to perfect a performance and to share it with everyone, especially now that, you know, with technology, it's so easy to spread music around the whole world, which is just a wonderful thing, I think, that people can hear it. On release day, everybody can hear it anywhere. So that really means a lot to me as a composer to be able to do these recordings.
Ole Yalo talking about his new recording, Winter Songs, on New Classical Tracks. Special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. Next week, it's the New Classical Tracks most coveted disc of 2017, as voted on by you. I'm Julie Almacher. Thanks for joining me.